Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it. You're here. You're in the right place if you are ready to dial up your life. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching, and this podcast is designed to guide, coach, support, and challenge you to live your life out loud. You know, move to live and live to move. You have no idea how excited I am today to announce the addition of this new series entitled Rudy's Road to Kona, where we will be following Ruth Payne on her journey as she prepares herself for Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii, which will take place on October 14th, 2017. And we have a fun little story that we're going to share with you about that date because it's kind of special this year. So we have a variety of listeners out there, from non-triathletes to business owners to seasoned triathletes of all levels. So bear with me for just a moment as I explain a little better what the Ironman World Championship is all about. First of all, it's a triathlon, and the triathlon consists of three sport modalities: swimming, biking, and running. And yes, it is always those three. I get that question a lot. What was your triathlon? Well, a true triathlon really is those three sports. And they come in all different distances, but the Ironman distance is the granddaddy of them all, which totals 140.6 miles. And yes, that is done all in one day. That's always the other question. And oftentimes I will hear, oh, well, I could maybe do that over 3 days or a week, or some people say about 3 months. And this one is definitely done all in one day. Typically, they have about 17 hours to complete the race. Some races are 16 hours. The European circuit typically is 16 hours, but most of them are 17 hours. And our pro athletes typically come in, Ruth, you can help me here, around 8-9 hours.
Yep.
And commonly our age groupers are coming in
anywhere 11. From 9 to 17.
Yes, so it's a long ass day, no matter which of those times you're coming in at. One of the, you know, some of you marathoners might relate to this. It's common to be that age group marathoner and want to come in under 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common mark off. A common mark off for Ironman is under 14 hours.
Okay.
for some of the age group athletes. But that just gives some of you an idea of how long this day actually is. The breakdown for the three sports is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, and then a marathon, which is 26.2 miles. And yes, once again, it is always in that order. So some of you might not realize that the Ironman World Championship that's held in Kona is an event that you have to qualify for. So oftentimes people would ask me if I'm ever going to do Kona, and I laugh, because while I've done Ironman, for me to qualify means I would have to drop a couple hours off my time, and that's not something I foresee doing. But it is really important to understand that Ironman Kona is like, it is an amazing, amazing experience to even qualify to be there. It's the top athletes in the world, and Ruth here happens to be one of those. Typically, they only take about the top two or three athletes. There's some detailed parameters in there, but around the two or three athletes who finished first in their age group, those are the ones that then will qualify to move on and be able to go to Kona. And the fact that Ruth or Rudy, she goes by Rudy, qualified for Kona is an incredibly big deal. And listen, this does not happen by accident. These athletes get there because they have put in the work, they've put in the time, they've put in the smarts, they have tremendous dedication and sacrifice in order to get even to the qualifying spot. And that doesn't even cover getting to the start line, and then, of course, the finish line. One of the reasons I have asked Rudy to be here with us and share her journey is because she has a really unique way of training. And it's a little bit different than some of the other athletes that I've worked with and maybe even done some reading on. She has this incredible, I don't know that it's a gift, but interest in reflection and incorporating mental skills and mental practices, including meditation. And she's going to share some of the other practices that she does as well. But I want to be able to share this with you because it's so different from what most of us have been incorporating over the years. And I don't think I think we're kind of at a turning point in our training where we're slowly opening the door to looking at being able to train this way. And the "this way," I have in quotes, is a mindful way. It's bringing mindfulness to our athletics, bringing mindfulness to our training, even in the most demanding of sport, such as Ironman. So I want to be able to share her and her journey with you so that all of you can have a better understanding that you too can do this. And I think it's a much more insightful and effective way of training rather than just beating our bodies to a pulp, which has kind of been the form and function in the past. Yes. So she's really awesome. I just absolutely love her. We've been getting together for coffee over the last couple of months and have really enjoyed our conversation. It's interesting because prior to meeting her, I kind of felt like I was a lone ship just floating around out there on the sea because I hadn't really met others who were incorporating mindfulness into their training. And now I feel like, oh yes, here's somebody who understands the way that I've been thinking. And she has certainly opened my eyes to new practices as well. So I think you are absolutely going to love her and what she is going to be sharing with you. So welcome aboard to Rudy's Road to Kona, where we will be checking in regularly over the next four months. I'm not going to promise to our listeners what that looks like. Like, it's not going to be every week. It's not going to be on the same day because this has a lot to do with how her training is going and where she needs to focus. I want to honor that and honor your process in that. So we promise you one thing, that we will be bringing you the real story, though. Mm. We're going to be bringing you the joys and the pains and the realness. And she kind of just rolled her eyes. I just want you to know that. Because, you know, that's pretty vulnerable. That's not always easy to do. But this isn't just about, oh, yeah, training is going great, and I'm really excited. It's going to be awesome. Because let's face it, that's not always real. That's absolutely a part of it, but it's not all of it. Mm. Yeah. And I think we do ourselves a real injustice when we begin to only share that part of the story. Because then when the rest of us go through the lows, which we always do, we begin to think something's wrong with us or something's wrong with our training or something is wrong with the way that I've been doing it. And therefore, I'm not going to be really great at that start line. And that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, there's a saying that I love, and it is nothing great ever happens in the absence of fear. And listen, when we stretch ourselves and we do things bigger than we thought we could do, it's very difficult to not have fear or pain that comes up with that. Doesn't mean necessarily that it's the message that we're doing the wrong thing. It just means that we're stretching. It's like stretch marks. So welcome, Rudy.
Thank you.
Yes, so excited to have you here, really from the bottom of my heart, and it's going to be great to share your journey with our listeners out there.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
Can we dive right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. I want to know how you got started on this amazing triathlon journey and how long you've been doing it and how you got to the point where you are now.
Okay. Well, I signed up for my first triathlon in 2006, and it was a sprint distance tri, and I was living in North Carolina at the time, and a friend of mine was doing it, and he was like, come on, let's do it, and it was one of those really popular ones that you have to sign up for like 8 months ahead of time if you want to get in, and so that got me back in the pool. I had grown up swimming, never competitively, but got back in the pool, and I had been running and been cycling more because I had gotten some injuries from running, and so I felt like if I would cycle more, maybe that would help my legs out, and it did. And so I did my first sprint in 2006 and had a blast, and I actually ended up surprising myself. I entered in the novice division and came in second place, and so I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I signed up for an Olympic distance, and it was really funny. When I signed up for that race, I went through a long process of trying to figure out if I should do that race or not, because I was working full time, and I thought, well, if I do an Olympic distance, my life's gonna have to change.
And it probably did.
It did, but we chuckle because...
In retrospect.
Right. Right. I mean, that race is 2.5 to 3.5 hours, depending. And and as you've already said, the Ironman is anywhere from 12 to 17 hours, depending on who you are. And so so that was really funny. But I that was a watershed moment for me, because I said, I want to do it. I want to. And so I knew what that meant was I was going to make other sacrifices in my life, because I wanted to really train. I love exercise. And so I wanted to swim 3 times a week at least. I wanted to do the cycling and the running I needed to do. And so so it just meant I was going to have to say no to other things that I had been saying yes to, and how that may affect my friendships, the relationships I was in, things like that. And so I dove in. I said, I want to do it. And it was St. Anthony's Triathlon in Florida, which is a very popular one. And I chose it because it was in St. Petersburg, and my mom lived in St. Petersburg, and they'd always talk about St. Anthony's. I didn't really know it was a famous triathlon. I just knew it was Olympic distance. And I knew that the swim was where we would go and watch the dolphins.
Cool.
I thought, I get to swim with the dolphins.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so different than the swims I've done where you can't even see 2 inches in front of you. The water is so dark.
Right. So in 2007, I did that, and I ended up placing again in the novice division. And I thought, wow, maybe there's something here. And then I peeked at the age group results, and I thought, nope, there's nothing here. This was fun, but those are athletes.
Those are serious.
Like, I mean, I can't imagine. And so that's really fun to reflect on now, too. I had some life changes, moved, entered into a long-term life partnership, and... So took some time off from competing, and then in 2010, after completing a 300-kilometer one-day bike trip,
300 kilometers in one day.
Yes,
wow.
It was the Dairyland Dare.
Wow!
And there were only a few people that picked that distance, and as the day went on, and you knew who was doing that distance, I started asking people, "Have you done Ironman?" And they would say yes. And everyone said yes. And I hadn't done it, but I was hanging with these people, and I thought, it's time. So that's when I signed up for my first. It was like winning the lottery. Because back in 2010, and for a couple years after that, you had to be at your computer as soon as the race opened up if you wanted to get a slot, a whole year in advance. And so when I got my slot to Ironman Wisconsin, I was like, it was like I got U2 tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a big, big deal. And so that began the Ironman journey. I would do a half Ironman earlier in the summer, and then I would do Wisconsin. And I did that for a couple of years. And then I moved and ended up doing a few more Ironman until this past year, coming back to Wisconsin when I qualified.
Wow, so you've done quite a few. How many have you done totally?
I've done 6.
You've done a total of 6. Were they all at Wisconsin?
No, I did, the first two were Wisconsin, and then I did Florida, I did Lake Placid,
okay.
I did Maryland, and then I came back to Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Wisconsin. Nothing's like your first. But really, all of them are unique in their own ways. Florida's so fun and flat, and you get to go fast, and you get to get a PR. And you're like, wow, that was cool. Maryland is home. I grew up in Virginia, so that was really special to be there. And I'd done the half Ironman there multiple times, Eagle Man, so it was like going home. And Placid is iconic. I mean, you can't beat having an opportunity to race up there. That was extremely unique because we had thunderstorms during the swim and the first portion of the bike ride. So I was grateful for that because I'd never dealt with inclement weather in a race, and I knew it was bound to happen. And so I'm glad I've been through it.
Right.
And so that was a great race. But coming back to Wisconsin, there's nothing like the crowd support. There's nothing like everything. You feel like a pro no matter who you are. You are treated so well. The volunteers are incredible. The space is amazing. I mean, no race. Now, I've only done four different ones, but I'm very much looking forward to being in Hawaii.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I can second that about Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There really is nothing like Wisconsin. And of course, I can only say that based on my experience. I've been to a couple others and international races. International races are very interesting because they aren't quite as posh as you might say here in
Wisconsin's
the
posh.
And Wisconsin is really posh.
Yeah.
It's in a banquet hall. Your transition is in there. And it's
rugs.
It's pretty, you have people drying you off. in Europe, you're just whipping off your clothes in the middle of the transition area, and you know, nudity isn't such a big deal. But I have a funny story. I was doing a Ironman Spain Mallorca, and it really is true that maybe only 25% of the field is women, and so we're kind of treated like second class. I'm sort of kidding, but they had this great big huge transition for the guys and this great big huge changing tent. It was still a tent outside, so not like Wisconsin, and then they had this little 8x8 tent for the changing room for the ladies. So
wow,
even the 8x8 was not big enough for the number of ladies that were there. But on top of that, you had to run through all the naked men in their tent before
Europe.
Europe, exactly. It was really a jump start to my bike, I'll tell you that.
That's excellent.
So you started at Wisconsin, and then you qualified at Wisconsin, which definitely has an extra bonus to it. And did you go into Wisconsin when you qualified believing that you were going to qualify? Was that your intent? Was that your goal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what jump started you from, I think I'll do Ironman, to I'm going to qualify now?
So, you know, the first three, I did improve as the years went on. I was self-coached through my first three, and I kept improving. And as you know, Ironman is really expensive. The sport of triathlon is expensive. And so my partner really jumped on board after my first one. She saw how happy I was, and she made me sign up for the next one.
Nice.
Which was really great.
Great support.
I mean, I can't ask for... it's pretty incredible. And but after three, she said, okay, we got to make some decisions here. If we're going to keep spending money, what are you going to do? Mm. And I said, okay, I want to see if it's possible, if I could qualify for Kona.
So it was a very conscious decision. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I'll just go see what happens.
No, it was conscious. And at that point I said, and she was in, and what that meant for us was like really starting to focus on allowing me more headspace is what I needed. Mm. I was training plenty, but I need more headspace to give to the training.
What did that look like? What do you mean when you say headspace?
So there is... so when you think about setting a goal that becomes more specific, then you have to start doing things that lead specifically to it. And that takes energy, it is not just swimming, biking, and running. It's focusing on what it takes to what your workouts need to look like, how you're going to do them, when are you going to rest, what are you going to eat, how are you taking care of your body. I mean, there are all of these different things. And there's a little bit of, I want it to happen, so then there's some anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so you're working on practicing learning how to let go so that anxiety doesn't impact you negatively. Mm-hmm. In your training. So we took care of some of that headspace by hiring a coach.
Ah.
So I hired a coach that took me through my next Ironman, my fourth one in Lake Placid. And that was huge. And the reason that was so good for me was I was no longer in charge of writing my own
mm-hmm.
plan. I had someone else was going to write my plan and I was going to follow it. But
why is that beneficial?
Well, one is I was very happy with my ability to improve on my own. I felt really good about myself that I was able to do that. But I also knew there was so much to learn about what I kept reading about it, about periodization, what it means to, when do you work hard and when do you go easy and when do you rest and what do you mean listen to your body and what does overreaching mean and how do you know if you're overtraining, all of these things. And so now I put this in someone else's hands so I could let go, and I knew I was going to learn about designing a plan. So after we hired Ken, who was awesome, I had finally been accepted into the USAT coaches clinic so that I could become certified mm-hmm. as well. And so now I'm learning so much about how to design and how to train effectively to get stronger. I wasn't in a rush to qualify. Like when I met with Ken, I didn't even know if I had the ability to qualify. I mean, I was 2 hours off from my first Ironman. And so how do you take 2 hours off your time?
For sure. That's a big, big job.
Yeah. And now I just lost my train of thought.
Hiring a coach and being able to learn what you didn't know.
Right. So he was basically going to help me figure out how to keep getting faster. Right. I was saying I wasn't in a rush.
Yes.
I thought, and I had read, it takes 10 years to really develop your endurance. Like, you can keep improving over time. So I was like, that's fine. I'm going to learn something new every year. But Ken actually helped me speed up that process
mm-hmm.
a little bit, which was great.
I've also experienced the benefit of having a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, my first half, I should say, of my Ironman training, had a coach, and it was awesome
mm-hmm.
to be able to, like you said, let go and put my trust into mm-hmm. this person. And when I got to the start line, I felt like I had
mm-hmm.
done what they needed me to do,
mm-hmm.
and it was a piece that I could just let go of.
Yeah.
Versus thinking, did I really write the right plans for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and having an outside observer
mm-hmm.
be able to see what you're doing, what you're accomplishing, what you're not doing,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
some, you know, hold you accountable.
Right, right. I used to question all the time, was my ride long enough? Should I be running? And you get on these forums, and I started to realize I don't get on the forums anymore because they can cause stress.
They can, yes, they can. They can clog up the system.
Right. But, I mean, people would be like, how many 100-mile rides do you do before your race? And some answers would be, oh, I do at least 6. I don't think I did any.
Mm.
I mean, and so there are just all of these different ways.
And everybody is different.
Exactly.
Right? We're not identical.
Right.
Yes.
I tell people, they'll say, they'll talk about a plan or ask questions. And I said, there's about 2,500 people that show up on race day. And there are 2,500 ways to train for the race.
Listeners, and if you're triathletes, and especially iron distance triathletes, please take that into account. Know that your physiology,
mm-hmm.
your mental ability,
yes,
your lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
your life demands,
mm-hmm.
when you're working and family and vacations and all of those things, all are really strong factors,
mm-hmm.
in your training plan.
Yes.
Yes. So to take a canned plan,
mm-hmm.
and try to shove yourself,
mm-hmm.
into it,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it gets the job done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be done a lot better and more easily, mm-hmm. with less effort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those that, I totally believe in coaching. I'm a coach. I mean, I think it's great to have a coach too. But if you're, and I also self-coached, and I loved that too. I really do like writing my own plan too. I keep losing my train.
That's okay. You're talking about training plans,
yeah.
and coaches and.
Yeah. Oh, so if you decide not to get a coach, which is great, and you find a plan online, or you purchase a plan, which there are lots of wonderful plans out there, you just keep listening to your body. You just can tweak it. I mean, the workouts that are written for you are awesome. The workouts that are out there that you can use them. But listen to your body. If you need a rest day, take a rest day. If it is written in such a way that you feel like you're just being pushed, you know, there are times to be pushed and there are times to step back. And that's all a part of the process.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. So please understand, I'm not dissing the canned plan.
Yeah.
But reemphasizing the need to take a look at all of your individual factors,
yeah.
and make them a big part of the training,
yes.
as well.
Yes.
Yes. So then,
mm-hmm.
you decide that you're going to go for it, and
mm-hmm.
you got a coach that helped you sort of bridge the gap into your,
yes.
next level.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
after that, you decide this next race is all about me trying,
mm-hmm.
to qualify.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I had him for about a year, and then I really wanted to coach myself again. And I had learned so much from him and from my own coaching certification. And so I did that. And as I got closer, with Ken, I placed for the first time in a 70.3 race. I came in 5th. And when I realized, like, oh, you get something for coming in 5th place, I had no idea. I'd never been in the top 10 before. I was like, oh my goodness, like, how did that happen? Maybe not as many people signed up,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Of course, that's where we
are. Right?
Always go,
it's just,
right?
It is.
Right.
And it, I, you know, I want that to shift for,
right.
sure. Yet I placed and thought, whoa, this is incredible. And now I think, well, maybe I'm getting faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was 2 more years before I qualified.
Okay.
And so then the next year, I placed in a 70.3. I came in 4th in a race, and so I was starting to feel like I was getting closer. My next goal was to come. I want to be top 10 in an Ironman. I want to be top 10, and that blew my mind.
Mm.
Like, I could really do that.
Just to clarify, are you thinking top 10 overall or top 10 in age group?
Top 10 in my age group.
Okay.
Always age group.
Okay.
Which is 45 to 49.
Okay.
and it was Maryland was my race, and it was 2015. And it actually, there were some things that happened that year with the weather. And so that race was actually postponed by 2 weeks. Mm. Through Linda's, my partner's encouragement, we decided we were still going to make it happen. Because I had shown up to the race and it was actually postponed while we were there 2 days before the race. And so 2 or 3 days.
That is a whole other podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How do you prep for something like that and then have it taken out? You know, because for those of you who do triathlons, you totally understand how you peak at a certain place in order to be able to really perform at your race, especially mm-hmm. these long distance races.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while mm-hmm. to get there, and then you start coming down the other side. So, mm-hmm. We're not going to go into that because it's going to be really long, I'm sure. But we definitely want to talk about that in a future podcast.
Okay. I do want to touch on that experience in the sense that in 2015, my mom was in the final stages of lung cancer.
Mm.
And so when we talk about the mind and the spirit and how we approach training and races, this was being with my mom. So because the race was postponed, I had an opportunity to spend 2 weeks with her before the next race.
Okay.
And it was time that I wouldn't trade.
Yes.
So to be able to do that, to be with her, in the midst of trying to figure out, am I going back to Maryland? What am I doing? And we had just moved across from New York to Wisconsin. So I was transitioning just in general. With life, so it was a challenging time, and but I bring it up because of that. How do you prepare, and how do you let go?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the race isn't October 3rd. I think it was supposed to be October 3rd. It's now the 17th. Well, you know what? It's the same for everybody.
Mm.
And that's what happens at all of these races. If it's raining, it's raining for everybody.
Right.
If it's 95 degrees, everyone is dealing with 95 degrees. It's okay. So that helps me let go.
Right.
Too. And so that was kind of part of the... And then, I mean, on a side note, I thought maybe less people will show up.
Right.
I'll really have a chance for top 10. And so I actually came in fourth place at that one, and there were 3 slots.
Oh, so you just missed it.
And the first 3 people took it. You know, it can roll down.
Okay.
And I have no shame. If it rolled down, I was taking that slot.
Sure.
but I mean, I had no, our life wasn't set up for us to go to Kona in 2016. Mm. So I'm glad it didn't roll down, but at the same time, it was like, wow, I could taste it. And I had so much support. I mean, I was meeting strangers, and I was starting to say out loud, because it took me 2 years. If I started in 2013 saying I wanted to qualify, I whispered that and only said it to a couple of people. But by 2015, before Maryland, I said, I'm going to qualify for Kona. I don't know when, but I'm going to. And people would say, yes, you are.
Yes.
People who didn't know me.
Oh, the power of support on the outside.
It was tremendous.
Incredible. And I find it really interesting for you to share that, you know, it started in a whisper.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's curious to me how often we do that when we start having this glimpse of a goal that stretches us
mm-hmm.
and we're sort of tentative and mm-hmm. not all that brave in sharing that with other people. You know, when I work with my clients, that's one of the steps actually I have them do it's okay not to tell everybody everything all the time. Mm-hmm. When you have this dream or this goal mm-hmm. that feels really big out here, mm-hmm. it's okay to protect it like this newborn infant, yes. because it's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, our ideas, it's a creative outlet mm-hmm. for us to be bigger, and it needs to be protected. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. keeping it inside, it's okay. That mm-hmm. starts with the whisper. And yes. then as you begin to build evidence and begin to build strength and start mm-hmm. getting a little bit of support from those who you trust in,
yes.
then it can grow.
Yes.
And we feel a little more confident in being able to share with other people. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't give a shit who says what. I'm mm-hmm. going for it.
Yeah.
And that's
yes.
when you know,
yes.
you know, that it has grown into this amazing commitment.
Yes.
I love
yes.
that process.
Well, and it happened with the first Ironman. When I signed up and won the lottery for Wisconsin, when I got in, I mean, I still didn't tell. I was so excited, but I was like, I can't tell anybody. I'm too, who knows? Anything can happen. It's 365 days away.
Yeah.
So it probably wasn't until June, like 6, 7, 8 months later, till I started telling people I was, I'm going to do an Ironman.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened with qualifying really was I started to own it.
Mm-hmm.
I started to say, I'm gonna qualify. And I would tell anybody who would listen.
Mm.
And everything, I wrote it on everything. When I opened my computer, you can have a message when you open your computer. It said, you are going to Kona.
Oh, cool.
My password used to be.
Okay. Yeah.
Used
Don't
to be.
Don't tell anybody.
And
doesn't matter, it's changed.
This was like in maybe 2015. I changed it to Rudy is going to Kona 2017.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I love that. Do you have other... I believe in the power of having reminders in our external mm-hmm. world about mm-hmm. what we're trying to accomplish in the internal world. And mm-hmm. some people use gratitude rocks, for example, for mm-hmm. gratitude. And some people mm-hmm. use images on their refrigerator in their mm-hmm. their bathroom, which I love. Vision boards are you know, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other symbols mm-hmm. that you use in your life to help remind you of the journey that you're on?
Well, I think when you said vision boards, that really struck me because for 2016, I was coaching myself, and so we had a whiteboard. Linda she's getting her PhD. She has her whiteboard for all of the papers she wants to publish and all the conferences that she's going to and the work that she has to do, and mine was, I'm going to do 15 hours a week this month, mm-hmm. and I'm going to focus on my bike this month, and I'm going to focus on my run this month, and that kind of thing. And I had my races,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was so simple. And then in September was the race, and on the whiteboard, and I wrote this up November, the previous November, I put Kona.
Mm-hmm.
And
as
I saw it every day.
It has already occurred.
I saw it every day.
Yes.
And so just seeing it
yes.
was a part of the believing.
Yes.
So.
I love that. You know, that's one of the laws of manifestation.
Mm-hmm. I see it.
See it, believe it,
yeah.
and then let your actions follow as mm-hmm. if it has already occurred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would love to share about what happened with the race,
yes.
too, and that whole process and what seeing did and what not seeing
Absolutely.
Also did.
Let's hear it.
So I saw that I was going to qualify. I saw it. I believed it. And in June last year, I came in second place at a 70.3. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was like, it's happening. I'm going to qualify in September. It's going to happen.
Just to clarify for those non-triathlete people out there, 70.3 is a half Ironman distance race.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so everybody that I would talk to about qualifying would say, well, what do you need to do? And I said, well, really, to guarantee, you have to be at the top of your age group. You have to win. Okay, you have to come in first place in your age group. And so that would be my answer. I never believed I would be number one. I didn't. I knew I would qualify. And that is very, very interesting to me.
Yes.
Okay. So come race day, I mean, everything, deeply spiritual journey to get there, and lots of lots of letting go, and lots of prayers, lots of experiences after my mom's death, and all of those things. But that day, I believed I would qualify, and so here I am, and it's unbelievable. I get off the bike, and I'm in first place.
Wow!
I'm like, I'm in first place.
Wow!
How did that happen?
Celebrate!
Right? I mean, it's incredible, and it's not far not long after I leave transition that. There goes someone in my age group right past me, right? And I was like, well, that's okay. I feel pretty good. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. I'm not going to try to catch her. And let's just see what happens. And it was probably three or four miles in where there was a turnaround so you could see each other. And I saw her, and she didn't look very good. And I was still feeling really good. And I was like, no problem. I'll catch her. And I ended up catching her at about 6 miles or so, and I was in first place again, and I couldn't believe it.
Right?
I couldn't believe it. Right? And I held it, I don't know, 16th or 17th mile or something like that when she passed me again. And she was looking really good, and I was not feeling good. So I didn't even try to catch her or stay with her. I was just... focused on who's behind me. I mean,
just wanted to stay ahead of the next person.
I really believed that there were two slots. Now, I just did, whether there were or not. I mean, that's what I was thinking. So I kept focusing on who was behind me and not focusing on going forward. Okay. And so, so anyway, I was asking. I had tons of support out there, so I was asking Linda at mile 22 or so. I said, "Where's third place? Where's third place?" Because really, all I wanted to do was rest. What can I do and still come in second?
Right.
And she wouldn't answer me. And so next time I saw her, like 23 or 24, I'm like, "Where's third place?" And she said, "Quit worrying about third place. You've got a friend of yours who's a minute and a half up. As soon as you pass her, then worry about first place." And it kind of like shook me out of this, like, woe is me.
Right.
This hurts.
Right.
To, you're right. What am I doing? What am I? So regardless, I some miraculously was able to pick up my pace, and I actually finished those last 3 miles much faster than I did probably the middle, you know, the previous six, in terms of pace, and just flew across the finish line. I mean, it was just an incredible experience. I guess I must have kept thinking, maybe I'll pass her. Maybe I'll pass her. Now, she finished 2 or 3 minutes ahead of me, which is a lot of time, considering. But I believe that seeing it, had I seen first place before I got there, my chances would have improved.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you had, your mindset had shifted.
It did.
It had shifted from... From I got this to maybe I can just settle, and it's hard to shift out of that.
Yeah. Oh man, when it hurts that much.
Yes. when you're feeling
Come on.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm curious where you are right now in your journey as we begin to wrap up this first podcast in our series. Bring us up to speed with where you are in your training. What would you say is one of your strengths? What is one of your challenges? And what is one of your celebrations? What are you celebrating in your training right now?
Okay, so I'll start with strengths, and then you'll have to remind me of the other things. So where I am in my training, I do want to say that in June at the end of June last year, I went out to Boulder to meet with a potential new coach and ended up hiring Rebecca Keat of Team Sirius. So she's Siri Lindley's partner, and Siri Lindley is a world champion triathlete, and she coaches Marinda Carfrae, who's won three Ironman World Championships. I had a dream of being coached by the best. Mm. And I went out there and was completely inspired. I've been under Rebecca's tutelage since last July. So she was very much a part of my mindset too, going into Wisconsin and into qualifying. One of my strengths, I would say one of my strengths is Beck. Mm. I mean, having someone who is so passionate about triathlon and is very attentive when any questions I have, anything. I love putting everything in her hands. Mm. The workouts I get are so dynamic and different. I feel challenged all the time. I love it. I love being a part of that team and everything that I've been learning as being involved with them.
You know, and I think it takes a special person to be able to allow help. I've been coached before, mm-hmm. and I also am a coach, and not everybody allows and or follows very well, but I appreciate your open mind in being able to accept that.
Well, so I would say that's a strength and a weakness also, because it is really hard to let go too, and it's a long distance relationship. We don't talk that often. Most of it is via email, the internet. And that's really hard for me. I really like being in person. So when it comes to dealing with the deeper the spiritual, mental side of training, it just extends into all areas of life. And this in particular, this like relationship with my coach is, it's very challenging for me because I have to let go. I have to let go of control all the time. Mm-hmm. I have to let go of like, why did she say that? Or, oh, she put a smiley face, so that means something else. And really let go of trying to interpret everything. So it's been a challenge too, but a really it is helping me to grow and to become, and learning how to ask for what I need from my coach, to even be able to say that out loud to myself. Often, honestly, I write in a journal every day, and I will write if I'm frustrated with something in the communication piece with my coach. And I'll write and I'll say, I wish Beck would say this to me, and I'd write all of this down. And I won't even tell her, and she will say it to me.
That's a beautiful connection.
Yeah. So just being able to voice what's in my heart and to be honest with myself about what I'm experiencing, it's scary to do that too. And it's scary to think I've got to say this to my coach too. And there have been things we've had to talk about. But it's really awesome. It's the same. It's just like saying I'm going to Kona 2017. When we put things out there, it's like, okay, I'm being, it's real.
Yes.
You know, this
honest
is what's
and
happening.
Transparent.
Yeah.
You know,
it always comes back.
It's important. It's incredibly powerful to give that inner world a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise it's operating on this system. It's kind of like the computer, right? We have these malware that's operating in the background.
Yes.
And until it comes to the foreground and we can actually name it,
mm-hmm.
and say what it is, give it a voice, and mm-hmm. then be able to communicate it,
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of eating up things in the background, slowing down the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not always an easy thing to do, but I think that's one of the challenge that all of us humans are called to do. We mm-hmm. have this beautiful, amazing mm-hmm. thing we call language.
Yes.
And yet we don't always use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would you say one of your challenges is right now in your training?
Okay. Well, and you know this. Tell me about your injuries.
Said one Iron Man to the next.
funny story. When I was first thinking about this, I think I had plantar fasciitis, okay? So this was 2009, maybe even. And there, I was working at a gym. I was working the front desk, and I got to meet all of, you know, everybody who comes through, which was really fun. And so I met a lot of people who had done an Ironman. And so I remember asking one guy, well, what did you do for, you know, have you ever had plantar fasciitis? And he's like, I've had every injury. And I thought, well, I don't want to be that person,
right.
You know? Well.
Hello.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
It is so worth it. When you use your body, it's going to talk to you.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, laying on the couch, it talks to me.
Amen.
So.
Right.
I could lay on the couch all day long and I'd probably be just as sore.
Yeah. Right. Right. So right now, really, I'm dealing with plantar fasciitis again, and it's been years. So, I mean, probably 6, 7, 8 years since I had it, and so that's been a challenge. And I also am dealing with a hamstring issue the challenge is trying to be attentive to my body and know what is when I need to take a step back mm-hmm. and when I need to test a limit.
Yeah.
Really. I wouldn't say push through. I would say test
mm-hmm.
a limit. 'Cause our bodies are such a gift. And so to be able to listen to it and honor it.
Yeah.
And so through this process, although it's a challenge, and the reason it's a challenge is because, I mean, who doesn't want to come in first place in Kona? And I did say it out loud, but I'm not saying it out loud anymore because that's not my goal.
Okay. So that shifted.
That shifted for sure. My body is unable to perform at that level
mm-hmm.
right now.
Right now.
I just can't. And I don't desire to feel the way it feels if I were to push that much and live with that kind of pain. That's just not desirable for me.
Yeah.
A challenge is letting go.
Yeah.
But it's also such a joy because letting go has freed me. I'm still able to work out and still able to have some really great hard workouts that aren't damaging my body more or making these injuries worse. Mm-hmm. But I'm not running right now and mm-hmm. I won't run for a couple more weeks.
Well,
probably.
Yeah.
Just to let it rest.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
To be able to let go and to be able to shift your focus and shift your goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely want to talk with you about that next time, about how you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Did that meaning letting go? How?
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the processes you mm-hmm. went through and did for yourself
mm-hmm.
to get to that point of being able to let go? Because I think that's something our listeners would really benefit from,
okay.
learning some of those techniques.
Okay.
What is a celebration right now?
A celebration. Well, I mean, I celebrate. Well, I will tell you, a celebration right now is that my brother Matthew and his son Sean and Sean's girlfriend Leah and his daughter Elise and Elise's boyfriend Chase and my sister Leah and her partner Sarah have all, and my brother Dan, have all gotten their flights.
Oh my gosh, they're going to be there with you.
To come to Kona.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That is a celebration that is beyond. I'm one of seven, and we lost our mom. My parents were divorced at a very young age, and we all lived with mom. And we lost her in 2015, 2 weeks after Maryland. Mm-hmm. And to continue to support each other in her absence makes her present.
Mm.
So present.
That's beautiful.
When I passed the first place person on the run in Wisconsin, Matt was there. He was right there. And he said, "I'm so proud of you." And it was my mom.
Yeah.
It was such a gift. Because she never came to an Ironman, but she knew how much I loved it. And so that's what I celebrate. And of course, Linda and Linda's parents are going to be there. And her sister, Lori, is going to be there with her husband, Keith, who they were all at Wisconsin cheering me on. So. Yeah. I mean,
that's beautiful.
That's what I celebrate. Yeah.
And what an amazing accomplishment to be able to be this thing that pulls all of them together
for
this commonality, right?
I'm the youngest, the second to youngest of seven. And so in terms of the family dynamic, even to have that kind of experience is something I never would have dreamed of, and I'm so grateful.
And now you get all of us
to come along with you. Amen. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's so exciting. So thank you so much for being here. And I cannot wait to hear whatever is coming up next.
Great.
We're going to talk next time about the practices you use to be able to let go.
Great.
And wherever you are in your journey at that time, we'll find out. And we're also going to hear more about Rudy's mindfulness practices and her journaling and how she uses that in training.
Great.
Yeah. So thank you again.
Yeah, you bet. Thank
so
you,
Jill. I have to ask you, a favorite training song? Songs that get you jazzed up. It's on the spot. I didn't tell her I was going to ask this question.
And so I'm just going to say the first one that comes to mind is a Queen song, and I can't think of the name of it.
We Are the Champions?
No, which is it's a great song, but he is so funny. Oh, gosh, I love Freddie Mercury. I'll tell you next time.
Okay,
yeah.
Stay tuned. This was not a plant, I promise, but it's going to work, I hope. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for being here and listening to Rudy's journey to Kona, Rudy's road to Kona, excuse me. Listen, I want to remind you, if you are listening from my website, make sure that you go up to the top right corner, put your name in that little box, and then you will be notified every time there is another podcast that's available. It's going to land in your lap. You're not even going to have to come and look for it. If you're listening to this from iTunes, go to my website, go to the podcast page, and put your name in that little box. My website is jillmsummers.com. You'll find it there. Super easy to get signed up for this. You don't even have to work to find out more insights from Rudy and her journey. So please, today, go out, do something amazing for yourself, and may that not be eating an ice cream cone. Something better, like getting some exercise or resting. If you're not resting, rest. If you need to get new shoes because your feet are sore from running in the same old shoes, go and get those new shoes. And then do something kind for somebody else as well. Pass it on. There's too much life to live to keep all that good stuff to ourselves. So please continue to join us as we are circling around and joining Rudy on her journey. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. So grateful for you to be here today. I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to jillmsummers.com. That's jillmsummers.com for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.